for the morning to your pizza. You smoothie me, ice cold pizza. Cafe ole, latte da. You do the Zumba, but I do not. Give me like half a marathon. I'll give you the gospel of St. John. Hits me like a wake up bomb. Cause we both know that it's mercy flows in the morning. Serious.
Everybody likes to take a holiday. Everybody likes to take a rest. Time together with the family, sharing lots of love and happiness. Come on, ring the bell, light the Christmas tree. Jesus is the King, born for you and me. Come on, ring the bell, and everybody say, Jesus, we remember this your birth. Celebrations come because of something good. Celebrations we love to recall. Mary had a baby boy in Bethlehem. The greatest celebration of them all. Come on, ring the bell, light the Christmas tree. Jesus is the King, born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells, and everybody say, Jesus, we remember, it's your birthday.
Father God, help us this morning. Help us. Help us be able to strategize. Help us to be able to overcome the tricks and the manipulation of the enemy, that we might be victorious over the enemy, over the devil, over demons, over witches, over all the manipulations of the devil. And Father God, we'll be so grateful to always give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. Taylon, this morning, let me put it this way. Most of you know, I got three things on my mind this morning. I got to see which, I'm going to get them out here. You know, people come here for deliverance. Not every day, but if it's not in person every day, it's on the phone or I don't use Skype too much because I don't like it. But you can rest assured somebody gets delivered over here just about every day, some way or another. And in their deliverance, a lot of times I learn like where the will of God is concerning a situation or, what the will of God is concerning what's happening or whatever, or what spirits got to be dealt with. Now, I'm not going to do it today, but I feel like I'm a little behind here because I'm working into 5780. I'm already in 5780. But I've got to teach you, those of you that are interested, I've got to teach you so that you can overcome demonic manipulation. I've got to teach you so that you can overcome demonic manipulation. And what I've been noticing that demonic manipulation has always been there, but it seems like to me that the devil is becoming more bold with it. You see, there's a term that people use, and they try to make the devil civilized. They try to make the devil look like he got some sense, but he doesn't. And they'll say like the devil is a legalist. It's just like they used to say back in the day, different sayings pop up. They used to say, oh, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. That's the biggest lie I ever heard. And to say that the devil is a legalist is the number two biggest lie I ever heard. The devil is a renegade angel. He don't give a damn about legalism. If he did, he would still be in heaven. He's not a legalist. He's a renegade angel gone wild. And to even try to legitimize that spirit is insane. It's just flat out insane. It's so insane because that's what he wants to make you and me, see? And when we go around here believing these lies about he's a legalist, if he was a legalist, he'd be in jail, chained up with them other ones. He's a renegade angel. He's a spirit. Totally different from the crew he leads and his gang. Because some of his gang consists of disembodied spirits. But this devil is a renegade angel. And he don't bit more care nothing about no legalism or anything legal. Brothers and sisters, then nothing. And so when I came face to face with something, I didn't mention it because the Lord wanted us to, and I love exalting Jesus, lifting up Jesus. So it wasn't the time. But I had the opportunity, and I would like to say the privilege, of ministering to a young woman. Well, I ministered to a lot of young women last week. But this one I just met. And when I meet people, I meet the demons in them. That's why I always try to help you be forewarned. I met straight up in your face demonic manipulation in my face. And let me tell you something. It was a painful introduction because I met a young woman who was only 30 years old that. And I'm not going to talk much about it because I can't. And the reason I can't is I don't know all the facts. But at any rate, out of that 30 years, at age 3, she had been sold by her mother, she and her brother. But I didn't find out how much they sold her brother for, but she had been sold for $2,000 to her grandfather, who was part of a Christian, quote, unquote, religious cult, whose whole religion is based on sexual perversion and, what it really boils down to is satanic ritual abuse. Every case of SRA, satanic ritual abuse, I've ever come in contact with, I've never seen any two the same. So this young woman's mom sold her for $2,000 to buy drugs, she and her brother. So if she was 3 and she's 30 now, that meant 20 plus, I can't say because I don't know, but I know 20 plus years out of formative years, she has spent being sexually trafficked and sexually abused. Now, somebody had directed, she was also in deliverance. And was brought, she called, and I just want to show you how God does things. And the night before she called, the very night before she called, she was contemplating suicide. She called her rescuer, another deliverance minister, and they came over to visit for prayer and deliverance. Now, for 27 years of this woman's life, she has been manipulated by demons. The demons are manipulating the church. I'm not going into it. The church is on the internet. It's listed as a cult. They've been manipulating the leaders of the church. By the way, her mother sold her to her grandfather who brought her into this. And this is right here in the U.S. of A. This is all part of the sex trafficking demonic horror that's taking place today. But it's not new. It's not new. This is the work of those Nephilim. And if you got the spirits are subject unto you, and if you look in the back there where I say take yourself through deliverance, cast those spirits out, the Nephilim are up there included in that lot. The Gregorum, the Nephilim, all of them. Because I've been familiar with these demons a long time. And I know, and I've been preaching and screaming and hollering for a long, long time that these demons must be dealt with, these particular demons. These demons that that were sent, these angels that have been sent to earth by God to teach men and women as watchers, and they fail. They fell through lust. Fell through lust. So, as I was happy, that God counted me safe enough for her to come here. And I want to share with you this. From the moment she crossed the threshold into the office, the demons start trying, I told you, to transfer through demonic manipulation to bring me under subjection to them. Because, see, that's what happened. But I had already been through that a little bit earlier. I had already dealt with whatever it was going to take. So, in a way, God sent her for me to pay Satan back. Because whenever he hits me, make no mistake about it, I'm going to pay him back. And I'm going to pay him back where it hurts the worst, and that is in the saving of a soul from his destruction. As I was observing this young woman, I knew that this was going to be a job for God and God alone, and that it was going to be difficult because of what I was just going through and coming out of, and that it was going to be difficult because of mindsets and patterns, imprints that had already been done in the area of her soul and her physical body. So I just said, well, you know, God, I'm going to just let this demon mess with me while I'm getting your info for you. The demon called itself sizing me up. And like most people, it said, you ain't nothing. I don't know what it is about me. But people and demons just say, oh, you ain't nothing. They that's what they do. You know, I kind of let them, because I'm not. But greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world. And I know this. I don't have to brag about it. I don't have to try to show the devil nothing. Nothing. I just let that devil be surprised. That's what, be surprised. So the devil's kind of like sized me up. Oh man, this is an old lady here. She ain't gonna be nothing. I'm gonna just knock her on out the way. That's what the demon was thinking. Because see, the demon was used to having dealt with a lot of young ministers that didn't know nothing. And most importantly, they didn't know them. So after the demon sized me up and I'm sitting here talking to God, the demon think I'm just looking at it. Because it can't read your mind, you know. It cannot read your mind. But it can comprehend anything you yield over to it. You understand that? Anything you yield over to the devil, he just consumes it and claims it as his and uses it against you or me. So I knew that I was going to have to get past all this pain, so much pain, so much hurt, and legions of demons that had been suppressed, repressed, causing oppression in the life of a believer. Many demons that had been deliberately put into this prison through the activities of this quote church. Now, when the girl was sold, the mama wanted the money for drugs. So she sold again. Now, it's one thing to hear about this, and for all you brilliant people listening who think you got all the answers, well, let me tell you something, you don't. And neither do I, and neither does anyone except the Lord. Because only God's own Holy Spirit knows exactly God's plan for the life of an individual. So anybody that jumps up and say, I'm going to cast this out, is acting foolishly. Very, very foolishly. And then I heard some people say, well, you know, Erica, we deal with inner healing. We don't deal with demons. Well, my question is, what the heck are you healing? What the heck are you healing? Because, and the second question would be, how biblical are you? Because, see, it is only ministry that is biblically based on the word of God that is truly permanently effective anyway. So, I got a message for those of you that say you only do inner healing. And the message is this. If you only do inner healing, what are you healing? Are you healing a demon? Are you healing an evil human spirit? What are you healing? And I know that inner healing is very, very necessary. But how you going to heal evil and leave it in place? Hello? I'm going to repeat that. How are you going to heal evil and leave it in place when the root and the seed of the evil is a spirit anyway? So how do you heal a spirit? How do you heal a fallen angel? I would like to know those things because, see, I'm teachable. But you don't have to be a scientist and keep researching and researching when Jesus gives you the answer right there. He say, cast out devils. And after that, he says, then you can heal the sick. But Jesus say, cast out devils. He gives it to you. You don't have to guess about it. You don't have to try to figure it out. Jesus said, cast them out. Now, what part of cast them out don't people understand? You can't heal a devil. If God cast the devil out of heaven, how you gonna heal a devil? Answer that. I need to know the answer. It is impossible. It is impossible. Look, repentance is very, very necessary. But, brothers and sisters, remember Judas. Remember Judas. After he had betrayed Christ, he went and hung himself. His sorrow was so bad. He felt that, and his sin was so great. But the inner healing people who think it all, you know, one time a person told me, craziest thing I ever heard of. Now, remember, crazy doesn't bother me. Because I was crazy. But this person told me, they said, Jesus and I were in a garden. I said, okay, that's great. And my demons ran, and Jesus embraced them and hugged them. I said, you lying devil. Come out of this woman right now. I said, show me in the Bible where Jesus hugged the devil. Show me. Show me. I can show you inner healing in the Bible. When Peter betrayed Christ in a threefold manifestation and the cock crowed three times, well, inner healing was after Jesus' death, Peter went out there on that ship. And after Jesus' resurrection, they said, go call my disciples and Peter. And when Peter saw Jesus down there at that beach cooking that fish for him, hallelujah, Jesus went to Peter and he said, lovest thou me? Peter, do you love me? And you read the rest of it. There was a threefold restoration to Peter. I can show you inner healing, but I can't show you inner healing where Jesus said, I'm going to heal you on the inside. No, Psalm 23 verse 3 says, he restored my soul. So soul restoration is restoring that soul back to God, thus healing it. But when it comes down to devils and healing of that body, Jesus said, cast them out. Jesus said, and you know what else? He did it. He cast them out. So what I was looking at was a lot of demons that have been repressed through a lot of inner healing that needed to take place after deliverance. There's a place for inner healing, a big place, but you cannot heal a demon. Period. Jesus said, cast them out. And so that brings me into this. I was thinking about it. And the devils know what's supposed to happen to them. You understand me? The devils know that they need to be cast out. So the first thing this demon did, it looked at me and it tried to mock me. But it wasn't me. It was mocking my humanness. Because that devil said, here's another dumb human being. I need to make light work of her. Get her on out the way. But you see, over there in Matthew chapter 8, verse 31, when Jesus encountered the Gadarene demoniac, those devils knew what was supposed to come next. So the devil said to Jesus, if you cast us out, because they know that was their destiny, they know that's their fate. If you cast us out, suffer us to go into the swine, into the pigs. They knew what was supposed to happen to them. All throughout the Bible, when Jesus sent his disciples out, Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, Jesus told them, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. The Pharisees, the religious right of that day, tried to charge Jesus. So you know if they tried to charge Jesus then, they're going to try to charge you and me now. They tried to charge Jesus of being in a collaboration with Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. That would be found over there in Matthew chapter 12, verse 24. All throughout the book of Matthew and Mark and Luke, the Gospels, it's in there. And Jesus said, in so many words, Satan is not going to cast out Satan. Because he said, if Satan casts out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? The devil does not want to see himself and his cohorts cast out. Matthew chapter 12, all the way down chapter 12. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 28, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Brothers and sisters, a lot of people say and do a lot of things. If it does not line up with the Word of God, if I were you, I wouldn't believe it. How could you? But if it does line up with the Word of God, how can you not believe it? A lot of people are walking around here with a lot of devils and demons and evil spirits and so forth and evil human spirits. And yeah, you can cast out an evil human spirit. Yes, you can. They're walking around here with a lot of spirits that they should not be walking around here with. And Jesus says something else that people don't seem to want to believe. Jesus talks about casting out a devil with the finger of God. The finger of God. The finger of God. Luke chapter 11, verse 20. But if I, with the finger of God, the finger, move your finger, anyone you want to, move your finger. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt, the kingdom of God is come upon you. So this doesn't look like Jesus was doing a whole bunch of effort. He's telling you, you can cast them out with your finger. But you see, you might be thinking, well, that was Jesus. No, that was Jesus. Yes. But that was Jesus, the Son of Man. Jesus, the demonstration of God to you. Jesus, the Son of Man, empowered by God's own Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that dwells in you. But But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils. Brothers and sisters, all of you ones, you know, out there, you so righteous. Well, then just use your finger like Jesus did. You ain't got to put in a whole lot of... You so holy, you so righteous. You go up and down into heaven. You talk to God. You communicate with God. Well, just use your finger. You got more Jesus than anybody else. Use your finger. It's all supposed to be about the kingdom. Use your finger. Well, a lot of people been going through a lot of stuff. And me too. Oh boy, me too. And the Holy Spirit said, Erica, you better treat that Satan like what you know he is. I said, okay, God, what do I know he is? He said, he's a renegade strategist. I said, oh. He said, he's an angel. He's a spirit. And that's what he's so mad about. He doesn't have a body. He doesn't have authority and dominion. He's a renegade. And you gotta treat him like he is. I said, okay, God. You see, the Holy Spirit began to talk to me. And boy, am I happy, because this takes me back to my early days. He said, remember that book I gave you? I said, yeah. I've been thinking about it anyway. I'm going to get to that when I finish this, because you know I'll forget. He said, that renegade angel and his demons passionately study every intricate detail of your life and the life of your bloodline, on your mama's side and on your father's side. He said he and his cohorts make a note of every single mistake that has ever been made through your bloodline, through your family line. And then he presents it to God as justification for tormenting you and your family line, for persecuting you and oppressing you and your bloodline on both sides. He said, you're going to have to treat him like he is. You know him to be a renegade. I said, yeah, I do. You see, brothers and sisters, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, the word of God tells us that he accuses us before God day and night. I said Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 tells us that he accuses us before God day and night. He said that renegade knows the Bible. And he hits you when your life, even when a part of your life that is hidden to you through a member of your bloodline or your generation has not aligned up with his word. He said that renegade loves to use your actions and that of your bloodline against you to support his arguments with me that you have given him a right to oppress you and or your bloodline. I said, okay. He said, and all those who do not accept Christ, all those who do not accept Christ as their personal Savior are his children, Erica. He said, that's why it's so easy for them to fall under the influence of these little gods and these false gods of this world. John chapter 8, verse 44. He say, Erica, you got to tell them. You got to demonstrate to them that they as an act of their own will make a choice, have to make a choice to disown Satan. Did you hear me? That you and I, as an act of our own will, have to make a choice to disown Satan. Holy Spirit say, when you decided to give your life to Jesus Christ and join the family of God, at that point, your decision as an act of your own will gave God the right of leadership, the right of command, the right of authority, the right of power, the right of dominion, the right of kingdom rule in your own life through Jesus Christ, his son. The Holy Spirit say another term for dominion, Erica, is domination. You give God the right, the exercise of control or influence over your life, your destiny. But it has to be done as an act of your own will. A choice has to be made. You have to make a choice to disown the devil, Satan, demons. You see, Erica, he said, don't forget 1 Peter 5 and 8. The enemy, the devil, oppression, evil, is like a roaring lion, going around looking for whomever he can devour. I said, okay. Let me break something down to you. All of you that say you've broken those generational curses off your life, if you have not had the spirits cast out, you suffering from your own act. Because if there's a generational curse, what can a curse do to you? What can just mere words do to you? What, to answer me that, what can mere words do to you? Well, Jesus said, the words that I speak are spirit, and they are life. Satan and the devil is a great counterfeiter and a manipulator. So the words that they speak carry spirits of death. Period. So if there's a curse operating in your life, and it's been operating, it didn't just get there with your birth. It just didn't get there the day, you know, you came out your mama's womb and they smacked your little behind and you said, it came out with you. It came out inside you. Because Jesus said, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. I knew you when the sperm and the egg came together and you were made manifest on this earth. I don't care how many generational curses you had broken. If you ain't never got those spirits out, they're still there. And you know why? How God does things through deliverance with me. I had to take a person through deliverance. And I know about guardians, and I know about guardian spirits, and I know about guardian angels. But I met two people. I think I've only met about two in my lifetime in taking them through deliverance. The Lord allowed one of his guardian angels to speak through them. To keep me in remembrance that he had good angels and he had bad angels. Bad angels, devils, demons, evil human spirits, good angels, good guardian angels. He got them too. And every now and then he'll open up that veil, woo, and reveal more of himself. So in deliverance yesterday, God allowed a good angel and a bad angel, a bad spirit, to show me that he had this good guardian angel protecting the life of this person ever since they were harmed at 4 years old. But the angel who was placed there as a guardian don't want to leave either. Because they're afraid that Jesus can't do what Jesus placed them there to do. But this is the kind of stuff I deal with every day. So the good guardian angel had to, because the angel didn't realize that the person was a grown-up adult now. They were still protecting the four-year-old. And the four-year-old was carrying all the pain for the grown person. This is another deliverance now. I'm in another deliverance. Okay. So what happened was the good guardian, it was time for that angel to go. Just like it was time for the familiar spirit. And I want to say this. Joanne Butler, I know what your son's problem is. I dealt with it in deliverance. Kimberly, I know what your husband's problem is. I dealt with it in deliverance. I had never seen it like this before. But God showed it to me. And you know why? Because as I'm doing deliverance, as I'm praying and crying out to God every day, Lord, what is the answer to this problem? Why can't these people be free? It's all spiritual. It's nothing in the flesh. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to me. God did by his own Holy Spirit. And so, like God was showing me, devils and demons can only operate through lies and lie-based theology and not accepting the truth. But when you go to God with the knowledge, I mean, with the intent of your heart, I know you got the answer. Then you just have to wait on God till he gives it to you. Some things, many, many, many things have to come from Jesus, brothers and sisters. And then when they come from Jesus, you got to believe that Jesus can only speak the truth because Jesus is truth. So Jesus is speaking God's truth when he says that by his stripes we're healed, over there in 1 Peter 2:24. Jesus is speaking the truth. Jesus is speaking God's truth when he says that he will lift up a standard when the enemy comes in against you like a flood in Isaiah 59:19. Jesus is speaking the truth when he says that you are the head and not the tail, the lender and not the borrower, above and not beneath in Deuteronomy 28:12-13. Jesus is speaking the truth because he is truth. When he says that if you speak to a mountain and command it to be cast into the sea, it will obey in Mark 11:23. Listen to this. Jesus is speaking the truth because he is truth. When he says to you and I that we have been given power over all the power of the enemy. He says that you got to speak to a mountain and command it to be cast into the sea. And he says you have power to do that. So then I just sat there and I pulled out this little faith book I had from a while back, for many years. And I thought, in one of them little faith books, it has some quotes from Smith Wigglesworth. And I said, let me find those quotes. I'm going to share those quotes with you this morning. A couple of them. One of the quotes said, hard things are always opportunities to gain more glory for the Lord as he manifests his power. I began to meditate on that. Another quote he says was, every trial is a blessing. The hardest things are simply lifting places into the grace of God. Brothers and sisters, hear me this morning. We have a good God, a God whose ways are past finding out, a God whose grace and power are limitless. We must open the way. We must open ourselves to the goodness of God by faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When we do that, then God supplies our need by his grace. But you have to put away all your doubts. You have to open up your heart to God's goodness. And God will come and place in you an active faith, brothers and sisters, in you through his word, the Bible, the word of God. Listen, supernatural in origin, eternal in duration, inexpressible in valor, infinite in scope, regenerative in power, infallible in authority, universal in interest, the word of God, personal in application, inspired in eternity. You got to read it. It has to read you. You have to write it so that it can write out your life script for you. You got to pray it in. You got to work it out. And then you got to activate it and put it into action. The word of God, brothers and sisters. Put this in the chat room. The word of God will bring into you the personage of God. It will change you until you become the word of God. It will transform your mind and change your character. It will change you from natural to supernatural. The word of God has an inheritance, a spiritual inheritance for you. A spiritual inheritance that allows God to come in, that allows God to dwell in you, that allows God to walk in you, that allows God to talk through you, that allows God to sit down and sup with you. It is time. See, I lived over there in the low country in South Carolina. I'm going to tell you something. There's a low country of salvation. And some of you need to move out of that low country up to the mountaintop, up to the uplands of God. Brothers and sisters, it is time for you to explore your unclaimed inheritance. But it's not going to come down there in your low land of salvation. It wants to feed you. It wants to fulfill your thirst. It wants to liberally give you an inheritance of life, of strength, of power, a light of God. In these next coming weeks, prayerfully, as I get this TV thing worked out, I'm taking my book, The Spirits Are Subject Unto You, and I'm going to do this through my website. I'm going to go over it from chapter 1 all the way to 13. I'm going to teach you your spiritual inheritance. I'm going to teach you how to operate in the spiritual realm. I'm going to teach you. I got to do that while I'm still writing the book that's going to allow you to operate and that everybody you pray for will be healed. I haven't forgotten. But my holdup has been some of you. You just weren't ready. And just like so many people out here running around, messing people up, ruining their lives, destroying them, because they don't have the proper foundation. So you might say, well, Erica, you don't know everything. I know I don't. But I know a man who does. His name is Jesus. And I'm going to teach you how his biblically based spiritual realm works. And I'm going to start at one, and I'm going to just go right through it on my website. Nope, I'm not doing it on YouTube. Not doing it on Spreaker. I said I'm doing it through my website, tedline.com. And then after I do every chapter, you'll be able to, you have the book. If you don't have the book, you can get the book. I'm revising that book right now. The first chapter has been totally edited and accepted, and it's been accepted. I submitted it to a college. It has been accepted. So, you won't have to come up lacking. Maybe Monday. Monday, remind me, Brother Joe Jose, I want to break the spirit of demonic manipulation. I'm going to do it. Now, whether it gets broken for you or not will be determined by who's on the line. And yes, I'm doing it at the hour God called me to do it, 6 a.m. in the morning. No, it won't be on YouTube probably, and it won't be on because after I'm on iHeartRadio, but I never really pushed it. But in 5778, I'm going to push my iHeartRadio channel. I have one. So it will be on iHeartRadio. I got to find out anyway, I'm going to do more on iHeart, and I'm going to do probably another blog talk. Maybe I'll do it on Blog Talk under Spirits Are Subject Unto You. This is going to be under Spirits Are Subject Unto You deadline. But I'm going to break demonic manipulation on Monday. In the name of Jesus. If I live and the Lord say the same, Monday, 6 a.m. on the TED line, I'm breaking and destroying the spirit of demonic manipulation. Because I've been looking that demon in the face. That demon been looking me in the face. See? I just didn't know the power that demon had over people. How much? I did not know that because people believe that the devil is a legalist and don't know that he's a renegade angel, don't give a darn about no legalism and never has. So he's been manipulating people. Well, that manipulation ends Monday morning on the TED line, brothers and sisters. Yay! Demonic manipulation, you coming down in Jesus' name. I said, demonic manipulation, you've been exposed. I said, devils, Jesus Christ of Nazareth is Lord. I said, demonic manipulation, it's over for you. God has called you to judgment. Make no mistake about it, brothers and sisters. Make no mistake about it. God has called that demon to come under subjection. And I'm glad about it. I'm glad about it. Because, brothers and sisters, you've been given power. You've been given authority. Woo! Over all the power of the devil. And nothing shall by any means harm you. How do you know, Erica? Because the Bible tells me so. The Bible says, brothers and sisters, marvel not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice because your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Everybody likes to take a holiday. Everybody likes to take a rest. Spending time together with the family, sharing lots of love and happiness. Come on, ring the bell, light the Christmas tree. Jesus is the King, born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells, and everybody say, Jesus, we remember, this your birthday. Celebrations come because of something good. Celebrations we love to recall. Mary had a baby boy in Bethlehem, the greatest celebration of them all.
It's your birthday.